Hi, welcome back to the Downtown Den for our latest podcast in the Meet the Partner series. And I'm Frank McKenna, the Chief Executive and Group Chair of Downtown and Business. Delighted to be joined today by Greg Johnson, who's the Managing Director of Warwick Development. So, Greg, welcome to the Den.
Thank you for having me, Frank. Yeah, thank you very much.
Hope you're impressed with these salubrious surroundings, sir.
Of course, I'm always impressed by you, Frank. Always impressed.
Now, listen, before we get into a conversation about the nuts and bolts of the business, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with Warwick Development, sir, and what the company actually delivers.
Yeah, so I started working at Warwick in 2007. I'd just finished my A-levels. I was quite academic at school, Frank, to be fair. But I'd got to that stage where I was really sort of getting fed up of education, to be perfectly honest. And the thought of going to university, which would have been the natural sort of progression for me, just didn't appeal. I thought 3, 4, 5 years in further education just wasn't for me. So I had a frank conversation with my dad, who was just about to take over as managing director at Warwick. He was in the process of buying my uncle out, who founded the business. Business was founded in 98, so we're 25 years old now. And yeah, my dad, with some private investors, was looking to buy my uncle out in 2008. And if he was here now alongside me, he'd tell you it was 5 minutes before the world fell into financial recession.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, he was very unfortunate for the time, and to be perfectly honest with you, for the first time the business had debt, and the economy obviously took a major hit. And testament to him, I don't think I realized at the time when I joined the business in 2007, but the way he grew the business in a difficult time, and maybe having a bit more of an appreciation for the role and what it entails now myself. It's really impressive, to be fair. I think when I grew up, I looked at my uncle as a real entrepreneur, and maybe sort of looked at him as a real business leader. I think now, obviously, I still have huge respect for him founding the business. But I think what my dad done between 2008 and 2021, when he left the business, was real sort of impressive. We grew from one unit to four units. We currently occupy over 100,000 square foot, up 120 employees. And the business is a manufacturing business. We manufacture windows and doors, UPVC as well as aluminium. And we've added things along the years, such as bifolding doors and roof lanterns and things like that. So the product range has really grown over the years. As I say, the infrastructure and the factory space really grown. And as I say, for him to do that, I think in a more of a difficult time is really, really impressive. So I was really fortunate to join the family business and to sort of have a fully immersed experience, I think. I always remember the first day after deciding not to go to university, he said, okay, tomorrow you join the family business and there will be no special treatment. There will be no special treatment. That lingers still to this day in the back of my mind. And I think at the time I was a little bit sort of, not resentful of it, but I didn't really understand it. I don't think like I understand it now. I had to have that fully immersed ground and learn the business from bottom up, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to deal with the position of managing director that I find myself in now. I wouldn't have the respect of the staff and the employees and the management team around me. So I actually done 15 years of learning the business from scratch, shop floor, working on the shop floor, then moved into admin, office admin, making terrible cups of teas and coffees probably for 6 months or so. And then I really sort of found my feet into the sales role. So we have and still to this day, we have, say, a team of 12 who do sales estimating. And that's just basically pricing windows and doors for the trade customers and for the commercial contractors and things. And then from there, I spent more time in the production team. That gave me a little bit more of a sort of technical background. And then the big one, which stood me in really good stead for today, was the sort of the financial learning. So in our business, we have our in-house sort of accounts team. So learning the financials of business, profit and loss and balance sheets and everything to do with the financial side of things. I think I spent over 18 months in there, and that really did sort of stand me in good stead to learn business. My dad was an accountant by trade, so that come naturally to him. But for me, yeah, it was 15 years of really sort of hard, immersive experience. And unfortunately, the reason I had to sort of step into the hot seat, so to speak, was back in 2021, Dad got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it come at a bit of a shock, Frank, to be perfectly honest with you. He's fit and healthy and doesn't smoke, doesn't drink. And I think because he's a real good businessman and a business leader, I always saw him as a bit untouchable, you know what I mean? He's one of them really strong sort of characters. And yet it came out of the blue. So he had to leave the business quite suddenly, to be fair. And yeah, I took over. And it was a big step up, really difficult.
You was that correct?
So that would have been the beginning of 22. Yeah. It was a really difficult period. Personally, I think I'd never suffered with mental health before. Mental health had, I suppose, albeit there was no special treatment, I'd always been given opportunities in life, and I'm really thankful for that. And maybe I feel a little bit of guilt as well for having opportunities that others don't necessarily have in life. But to say I'd lived a comfortable, blanketed life, and then all of a sudden, 2022 was the first time I'd really sort of suffered from a mental health perspective.
Because it was a big personal, emotional shock to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's so many elements at play all at once, Frank, to be fair. My dad's diagnosis and just coming to terms with that as a son.
Yeah.
Taking over the family business, the responsibilities that brought
pressure.
With it.
Yeah.
Pressure, yeah. I'd had an uncle who had founded the business, done really well. I'd had a dad who'd grown the business in harder times. And it was the pressure, well, their generation, can I step up? Can I match that, their efforts? Can I succeed in the way they did? So that brought with it its own pressures. All of a sudden, there's 120 employees and 120 families that are relying on you and your decision, and the pressure that brings with it is difficult. The main problem or the main pressure that I felt was I was going into a family environment, a business whereby my grandfather worked there, my dad worked there, my auntie worked there, my sister worked there. My uncle had retired. Now my dad's illness, my grandfather had passed away. So it didn't have that family feel to it anymore. I felt very alone, very isolated, I think, for the very first time. And I'd pull up at work in the morning and pull up to the car park, and between me and you, I'd think to myself, got to go into my dad's office now, sit at his chair, do his job. So it was very mentally sort of taxing from that perspective. To throw in alongside, I have two little girls. Gia and Aria were born around the same time. So the sleep deprivation, the becoming a new dad, the responsibilities of being a father, and the pressures then to succeed in business for them as well. So all of that, all at the same time, was really difficult.
Baptism of fire.
Baptism of fire, yeah. Then Vladimir Putin decided he was going to invade Ukraine. So that...
Didn't consult any of us either.
Didn't phone me to say, I know you've got a lot on your plate at the minute, Greg, but there's going to be some additional pressures to face on a business day-to-day level as well. So yeah, rising energy costs were massive for the manufacturing sector. This is all within my first sort of 12 months. Dealing with suppliers and glass in particular was a major one, because the process obviously of making glasses, the energy is consumed a vast amount in terms of furnaces and heating the glass and things like that. So energy costs for even heating our building itself rose by $250,000. We had a real difficult sort of day-to-day business journey as well to contend with, whilst learning on the job, so to speak, as well, of the role.
So let me just take a step back a second, Greg, if I may. Because you obviously, listen, you had a 15-year apprenticeship in a sense. But had you had a conversation with your dad where there was going to be a transition? And what was that time scale? So I suppose what I'm asking is, how sooner did you have to pick up the reins than was planned?
Yeah, good question. And there was conversation before his diagnosis. There was conversation around, okay, future succession plans. There would have been another couple of years, I think, of a transitional period. I would have probably shadowed his role a lot closer. And I think my dad probably would have maybe done 3 or 4 days a week. But after the 2 year transitional period, he'd have dropped down to maybe 3 days a week. So I'd have probably still had another couple of years of him working part-time as well to sort of earmark for any sort of questions and things like that. And don't get me wrong, look, he's at the end of the telephone and had been over the last couple of years to speak to. I think he feels I'm comfortable enough now to hold the reins myself. So that's testament maybe to myself. There would have been a transitional period. But it was almost in the deep end without your armbands, and it's sink or swim, Frank. So it's really pleasing to know today. I'm confident to say that, you know, we swam, and the reason that we did was because we quickly got a good management team around me. My dad's management team had served him really, really well. I had a mixture of some of his management team, but I wanted to sort of have my guys too, I'd seen do really well in areas that I'd been working in within the business. We brought a younger sort of management team, complemented it with the experience as well that we had on site. And they were instrumental for me. They really sort of helped me over those difficult couple of years, took the pressure off where they needed to. So really, really thankful. Really thankful for having the opportunity to manage a very successful business. We're a business that, as I say, is 25 years old, and it wasn't broke by any means. So there was no reason for me to fix it in any which way. All I sort of envisaged and wanted to do with my sort of stamp on the business was to elevate the business in terms of its profile, rebrand it a little bit. Our trade name is Warwick Development, and I always say I inherited a brand and nightmare to some degree, because Warwick suggests that we're geographically located in Warwick. Development suggested that we're a development company. We're builders, So we've done some good work with some brands and marketing companies and some PR companies, and we dropped the development from the brand name, and we brand ourselves as Warwick Northwest. So the last year or two has been a journey to tell more people about us, because whilst we're a successful business and one that, as I say, has been going for a good period of time now, there's still plenty of people within the Northwest that don't know of Warwick. And we're a company that, whilst we're a manufacturing business, we have a saying at Warwick, what do we make? So we make windows and doors, but we want to be profitable and we want to make money. But what we also, or what I want to do as well, is to sort of to use our platform to make a difference where we can. So 25 years of loyalty from the city region and from tradesmen and contractors and developers who have been loyal to the business, if we can give back to the city region, then that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to use the platform to give back. We have a couple of local charities that we support. Being a Bootle-based company, we have a Bootle-based charity called Y Kids, who do some really great work within the borough. We want to tell more people about what a good company we are. We have good morals, good ethics. We try and be social. Our social value is very important to us. And we've become a bit more of a go-to sort of for a lot of the social housing companies now. And I think our values maybe resonate a lot with the housing associations for that. So we do quite a lot of work with the housing associations across the city region. So the journey is now is to keep telling, spreading the message of Warwick and what good that we do. Not only do we offer a really good service and really good products, but we have a real sort of essence on net zero, a drive towards net zero. Have an innovative product, which is a window system called Modus. And Modus has not to bore you about windows and doors, my Frank, but Modus has an additional chamber within the PVC. We couple it with a glass unit, which allows us to achieve a window of 0.8 U value. So what that means basically is the government set a future home standard for 2025 that all new built homes had to achieve a net zero sort of efficiency. And Modus complements that. And we manufacture that window and have done for years, to be perfectly honest with you. So we're well ahead of the government sort of standard for new build. And the thermal efficiency of the window is probably one of the best on the market, to be fair. So we have a real sort of onus on the drive towards net zero, sustainability, really good with recycling and things like that. So we are a good company. We try and conduct business in the right way. And it's just my job now to get out there and tell more people about us.
Maintain it and grow it, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a fascinating snapshot of your personal business journey alongside the progress that Warwick have made. And I apologise because I introduced you as the Managing Director of Warwick Development, so I haven't been keeping up with that, do you, Bram? But I just want to take you back to the first comment you made, in a sense, which was you'd gone as far as you felt you wanted to go in terms of academia, despite the fact that, you know, you're good, you got your exams and you could have gone into further education onto university and become. And I just wondered whether it be from your uncle, from your dad, or from other people that were in and around you at the time, whether even at an early age you had a taste for business. You know, when you went into Warwick, did you actually think one day I want to be running this place?
This is something that I've thought on only recently myself, to be fair, Frank. And it's my uncle, I think, had his drive was financial. I think he'd tell you if he was open and honest, he wanted to make money, wanted to do well, and he did, and he retired early. Great. My dad's passion and drive was just the passion for business, I think. And he'd be there till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And he loved work and he fully immersed himself in work. For me, I don't think I have either of those two things that drive me. I think my drive was always to prove that I could do it. I think I'd seen, as I say, growing up, my uncle and my dad doing it. And I always pondered the question to myself, are you good enough to do it? Can you step up? I don't feel that I've done well. I don't feel I've ticked that box just yet or proved that just yet. But that's
well, you're only 2 years in. Don't put yourself under too much pressure.
Okay, yeah. So I've still got a long way to go up now. But yeah, that's what drives me on. I think that and the girls, family is very important to me. I think since my dad's diagnosis again, it sort of puts a lot of things into perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked tirelessly, and I think he always envisaged that, you know, he'd enjoy the fruits of his labor later on in life. And that's sometimes not always guaranteed, is it? So you've got to get the right balance. I think you've got to work hard, strive, obviously, for perfection as much as you can within the work environment, but also get that work and life balance correct. So look, don't get me wrong, we'll keep the doors open, and if anything goes wrong, we'll fulfill orders and stay late, and we'll do anything to pull out the bag for customers. But we have a bit more of an onus now on, if we can, the doors close at 5 o'clock, we all go home, let's spend time with family, and only have a small window of an evening between the time I get home and the children going to bed. So it's important to me to do the nighttime routines and the storybooks and the bath times and stuff like that. So, I think that is another sort of part to it that drives me on, is to do well, prove I can do it, or try and do it in a way as well whereby we get the right balance.
And when you take over a company that is successful, is growing, that brings a different type of pressure, I always think, because if you go into a place which is on the floor or is being underperforming, then it's quite easy to point to little victories, little successes. Well, we grew 2%, that's fine, because look where we were. You go into a business which is doing well, which is well regarded, has a good order book, good partners, good stakeholders. It sounds to me as though you have a decent team as well. So I guess the first thing was, don't break anything, do no harm, you know. And then, you know, what I think is really admirable in terms of the approach you've taken is you spotted perhaps a weakness within the business, which was profile and marketing. And maybe it just needed that fresh pair of eyes or that younger approach, because people of a certain age have a reluctance around marketing and PR. And it seems to me, you know, because listen, Warwick did my windows and doors. And that was through one of your guys, John McDonough, who I knew. So it was sort of word of mouth. But as I say, I think you've taken the brand to a different level. So two questions in one there, I suppose, Greg. Yeah, was it a bit daunting going into that, as I say, successful environment and thinking, I don't want to f this up. But equally, were you a little bit excited as well that you'd be able to put your own stamp on it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. For the first sort of 6 months, I felt like, yeah, don't touch anything, don't break anything. It was almost steering the ship, so to speak, for the first part. And then when I sort of found my feet a little bit more, it was the potential that I could see within the business was still huge. As I say, we will turn over £12 million this year, but it's still got so much potential. For starters, we still run on one shift. So the capacity that we could have to really kick on is exciting. And the brand awareness and the profile and the marketing side, I mean, joining Downtown and Business, and having those organizations that are able to help us facilitate getting our name out within the Liverpool business community. And whilst I've got the opportunity, I'd like to say a big thank you to the business community and to the Downtown community in particular as well, because we came into this sort of world not really knowing. I'm being a little bit naive to it, to be fair. And everybody has really welcomed us as a business. Everyone's very supportive of local sort of businesses, and everyone's really keen for people to do well. And I think that's really sort of admirable, to be fair, to have. I know we say, don't we, Scousers look after our own and stuff like that, but you really do feel that sort of camaraderie within the business community, especially within the Downtown community. So, I've enjoyed that side to the business. I've enjoyed exploring new ideas, new possibilities to grow the potential. And within the city region itself, there's so much potential for Warwick to sort of get involved in as well. I mean, I read an article on LBN only yesterday. The council have just passed a £110 million project at Love Lane. over 500 apartments to be built. I mean, the city's in a good place in terms of, say, the Knowledge Quarter, for instance, and the sort of the super hub of the SciTech, which is really exciting. I generally think that we could have the Bootle sort of corridor from Liverpool waterfront, which is where obviously we're located, especially with the transformational sort of projects going on, like the Everton Stadium, the Love Lane development, even the tobacco warehouse and things like that. There's huge opportunities there over the next few years, and huge opportunities for us as a manufacturing business to have work right on our doorstep, and to get involved in these sort of projects, which will mean so much to us as a business because they're part of our fabric. They're right there. I mean, you walk out of our door and you can see the stadium, you know what I mean, sort of thing. So I think the Knowledge Quarter, we could replicate something along that lines with Liverpool waterfront, and maybe in the future Bootle could be a manufacturing super hub, or, you know, we could really kick on some great Bootle businesses. To be fair, the likes of, off the top of my head, Wild Thang, Warwick, you've got the Sabini Group. There's some really impressive businesses within Bootle, and there's so much potential as a business, as I say, but also so much potential for our area and for our sort of borough. So I'd like to see, I'm excited, as I say, for the future, to see what that holds as well.
As a Bootle boy, doesn't surprise me. The place is only up, no question about it. Listen, you know, this sort of initial approach that you took, bit of a fresh move, as you say, into the marketing profile area that Warwick hadn't necessarily been, say, interested in, but certainly wasn't a priority, certainly not the priority that you've given that aspect of business, culminated in you winning an award last year. So I think it was Young Entrepreneur, wasn't it?
Young Entrepreneur.
Liverpool Award.
Liverpool Awards, yeah. It was a great night, to be fair. And, you know, what always sticks out in my mind about the evening, obviously winning the award was fantastic, and one that I didn't expect in the slightest, to be fair, because, yeah, whilst I knew we'd had a good year, a successful year, some of the caliber of people on the shortlisting, the Monterex lads in particular, I know they picked up an award on the evening, and rightly so. So there's some great young entrepreneurs in the city, and you see what those two lads have done from the bedroom to turning over globally now over 50, 60 million, or whatever they do. So super impressive. Yeah. So to be in and amongst them names and them company names was great. To win the award was amazing. And so much so that we decided that it would be great to sponsor this year's awards.
Yeah, we're delighted to have Warwick as the headline sponsor.
Yeah, we look forward to it. It was a great night. The whole team enjoyed it. And as I say, I think this year it will help again with the branding and the profiling. Gets us in a room full of top businesses within the city region. And we get to sort of tell the audience again a little bit about what Warwick is and what we stand for. Everyone always asks me, what does Warwick do? And I say, oh, I'd rather tell you what Warwick stands for, you know what I mean? So we'll get an opportunity to do that on the night as well, which is great.
Yeah, November, those awards, so it'll soon be here, sadly, won't it? And before then, we've got the City of Liverpool Business Awards. I know Warwick are off for a team award, if I can put it that way, because obviously Liverpool is about individuals. And that's in July at the Palm House. Have you been to that one before, Greg?
No, this will be the first time. The venue is one that I'm really looking forward to go to.
Yeah, spectacular. You'll love the night. And good luck with the award this year. But listen, it's been great to chat to you. As you say, we'll be having a conversation on stage in November at the Crown Plaza Hotel. And before then, I'm sure, you know, your paths will be crossing with many, many downtown members from the network. But thanks for coming into the Den. Been great to chat to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Frank. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, mate. Okay, so that was Greg Johnson, the Managing Director of Warwick. And as I say, they are delighted to announce the headliners falter for the 2024 Downtown Liverpool Awards. If you want further details, go onto our website. It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel this year. 420 of Liverpool's finest business leaders will be in the room. If you want a good party, but also you want to celebrate with some of the best, as I say, in the business in this city, then you will not want to miss a particular night. Thanks for listening to our latest Meet the Partner series, and we'll be back in the Dale Sound End with you very soon.